Our text is in Psalm 72, in verse 6. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Amen. You know, more than 20 years ago, my wife and I were studying for our final exams in a physics block of NUS. Both of us were very feverishly trying to cram in as much as we could in order to pass our exam. We're using a classroom in the physics block in the about, I think, fifth or sixth floor. And this classroom had a window just like this, but it overlooks a field in the open. And beyond that is the highway. In those days, it was not the AYE, it's just a road. But before us is just an empty field. And, you know, it was exam time, so not much activities there. Everyone was studying. But it was quite a refreshing sight because it was green field. And so whenever we needed some refreshment, we just stood there and watched the field. I remember that year there was a drought. And as we watched the field, we noticed that it started to get brown and yellow. And I remember a certain sense of disappointment that even that very little enjoyment, the pleasures that we have of looking at a field in its greenness and lushness was taken away. One day, it began to storm. The rain came. I remember we stood there watching the field. And amazingly, even as the rain fell, we saw a remarkable sight before our eyes. The grass that was brown and yellow started to turn green before our very eyes. Never thought that plant growth could be observed with the naked eyes. But there it was. The full field starting to turn green, litter by litter. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the psalmist had in mind a very similar experience when he wrote our text under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Our text refers to rain over mown grass, or grass that has been mowed or cut down. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. You see, grass that has been mown before the rainfall tends to become dry and brown. But as soon as the rain comes down, the entire field begins to rejuvenate. The dry, brown or yellow grass begins litter by litter to give way to the lush and the green. But of course, David was not simply describing a remarkable or even miraculous natural phenomenon. He is rather describing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Psalm 72 is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It was probably written by David for his son Solomon as he passed the scepter to him. But Solomon was a type of Christ. God would not allow David to build the temple, partly because he would have the son of David build it. The son of David, Solomon, would build the shadow of the temple in earthly Jerusalem. But the greater son of David, Christ Jesus, would build the substance of the temple in heavenly Jerusalem. Solomon was a type of Christ. And so Psalm 72, which was written for Solomon, is not ultimately about Solomon. It is rather about the greater Solomon. Indeed, if this psalm is were only about Solomon of old, we would not be able to sing it really meaningfully, for it would make little sense and it would have little enduring value. So sure that this psalm is messianic that Hengstenberg, that great commentator, says, and I quote, "The psalmist would have rendered himself ridiculous if he had promised such a dominion as described in this psalm to any of the ordinary posterity of David, including Solomon. And no such thing ever took place. The violent assumption which must be made by those who do not adopt the messianic interpretation show how imperatively that interpretation is demanded by the contents of the psalm." Now, with this sentiment, we agree. Psalm 72 concerns the glorious reign of Messiah, the King. In this psalm, we are given words to extol the reign of Christ, our King, from four perspectives. First of all, from the perspective of his righteousness, verse 1 to 7. Secondly, from the perspective of his universality, verse 8 to 11. And thirdly, from the perspective of his benevolence, from verse 12 to 14. And finally, his perpetuity, from verse 15 onwards. Now, our text is found in the section that describes the righteousness of the reign of Christ. It speaks of the miracle of the Lord that he wrought in his kingdom by his righteousness. Well, this morning, as we prepare ourselves to come to the table of the Lord, and as we begin another leg in our Christian race, I think it'll be instructive for us to meditate on the picture that our text is painting for us. In particular, we want to consider three things. First, let us consider how we may be likened to mown grass in the kingdom of Christ. Secondly, how exactly is the work of Christ like rain that falls on mown grass? Thirdly, how should we respond to this work of Christ? First then, how are we mown grass? Well, David says of Christ, "He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth." Now it's clear that David is thinking of God's people as a field of mown grass as he wrote these words. Elsewhere he says, "As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes." Psalm 103 in verse 15. Indeed, man is likened to grass in many parts of scriptures. Isaiah says, "All flesh is grass," in chapter 40. And he says, "Surely people is grass." And the apostle Peter says, referring to all these passages, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flowers thereof falleth away." 1 Peter chapter 1. Why is man like grass? Well, we are like grass because we are here today and gone tomorrow. We are like grass because, you know, our glory is temporal, is the flower of the field that is our glory. It fades away very quickly. Our life on earth is fragile, temporary, in some sense insignificant in the midst of the field of grass. But the psalmist most specifically likens the church to mown grass. Not just grass, but mown grass. What is mown grass? Well, mown grass is grass that has been cut, that has been mowed, cut short. Where in the Near East, it was a practice to mow the grass at the beginning of summer when the heat is prevailing and before the rain falls. I think one of the reasons they do that is as the heat comes down, if the grass is long, they would catch fire and it would be a terrible fire. They'll spread far and wide. When you cut the grass, it may still catch fire, but it may not be so bad. But under such a condition, when they have cut the grass, as the heat is prevailing, the grass generally becomes yellow very quickly. And then every stem of grass, is cut and therefore damaged in some ways. They cannot withstand the heat. There's no shade. And each one of them begin to wither away. Now, bow grass, mown grass, can be quite pathetic to look at. They're not very pleasant to the eyes. And as I mentioned, because they dry up so quickly, they can catch fire quickly, even if they may not spread as quickly as grass that's not been cut. I remember when I was in San Jose in California some 20 years ago in the 1990s, near the place that I was staying, there were hills. I think they're hills, but probably about the height of Mount Favor or Bukit Timah. Beautiful hills covered with green grass. When the rains were falling, beautiful to behold. But remember, as summer began to take its toll on the land, we see the grass becoming to turn brown, yellow, and suddenly the lushness is taken away. There's a sense of deadness now in the hue. And not only that, but some of them began to catch fire, and they began to be burnt patches all over, and no longer is the hue so beautiful to behold. Now, in some sense, the church and believers are often like mown grass. We stagnate. We backslide. We become fruitless. Instead of green freshness, we become yellow and brown. This was the case in the time when the Lord Jesus walked on earth. The church under age had become barren. Instead of glorifying God and bringing honor to His name, she was blaspheming Him and bringing dishonor to His name. The same is true at a time prior to the 16th century Reformation. The church had become ignorant and superstitious. God's name was being dragged through the mud by greedy and corrupt officers in the church. So too, in our times, do we not see that Christianity has been given a bad name by worldliness in the church, by worldly ways of even ministers and those who ought to be leaders in the church? Think about the immoral videos that have been made by some who are supposedly leaders in the church. And think about those fights in the courts, in churches, bringing dishonor to the name of the Lord. And what about ourselves? Do we not often feel dry and barren? Have you not felt like blades of mown grass, hurt and bleeding? Do you not sometimes think of the church like a field of mown grass, cut back dry and barren? Do you not sense it in our prayer meetings, where many more could come? Do you not sense it when talking to individuals and realizing that many are struggling one way or another, and instead of a contentment, having a sense of discontentment? Do you not sense that in some ways we are like grass that has been cut? Do we not find ourselves rather saddened by our barrenness, by our sin, by our addictions, or by idolatry? Not in the gods of other religion, But idolatry in the things of this world, mammon and the latest gadgets and the games and the movies, do we not find ourselves burdened in our heart because we are the seed of the word and we know what it ought to be, but yet we feel the sense of discontentment? Really like mown grass, stunted, unable to grow. Do you not feel that grief because of lust and worldliness that we see all around us, in our own lives, in the lives of our loved ones? But thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ that He does not leave His people barren and brown and dry. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. But how? How is the work of Christ like rain? What a few of mown grass, as we saw, is not very desirable sight. The grass is dry, short, and uninviting. But rain upon mown grass gives freshness to the field. It refreshes the whole field and causes the grass to rejuvenate. It turns the dry brown to lush green. The deadness and barrenness is transformed to liveliness and fruitfulness. Sometimes the transformation can be immediate, like what my wife and I saw in the 80s. Sometimes the transformation will take longer, but little by little the field turns lush and green. So it is too when the Lord visits His church and His people with the reviving power of His word and His spirit to renew them in their love, faith, hope, and zeal. This was what happened at Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured upon the church and the word was preached to thousands. This is also what happened during the 16th century Reformation, when Christ refreshed His church with a powerful visitation of His Spirit and biblical preaching of His word. The same could be said to have happened during the Great Awakening of the 18th century. But perhaps what is more important for us to understand is that our text is not really about particular moments in history, whether it be Pentecost or the Reformation or, if you like, the Great Awakening. Look at the context in which our text was given. Verse 5. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish in abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth. Consider the phrase, throughout all generations. In his days, so long as the moon shall endure. Do not this phrase indicate a recurring and continuous ministry of the Lord? So no doubt when David speaks of the Lord being like rain upon mown grass, he's not making a prophecy about some specific event in history. Instead, he's speaking about how the Lord is like rain upon the people throughout their lives, from generation to generation. Sometimes, of course, rain comes down like a mighty showers, like during Pentecost or at the time of the Reformation. But what our text suggests to us is that the rain is falling regularly. only that his people must receive it by faith. But how is the Lord like mown grass? Well, he is, as Spurgeon puts it, with mild benignant influence, softly refreshing the weary and wounded among men and making them spring up into newness of life. He is, as Calvin puts it, distilling upon the church his secret grace to render her fruitful. The church is barren, so the Lord is as rain upon the church to make her fruitful. Or as Matthew Henry puts it, he shall, by the graces and comfort of his Spirit, come down like rain upon the mown grass. The gospel of Christ distills as the rain, which softens the ground that was hard, moisten that which was dry, and so makes it green and fruitful. In other words, Christ is like rain upon mown grass by the gracious operation of his Spirit in the hearts of his people, as well as by the preaching of his word. Is not the Holy Spirit likened to water in the scriptures? In many places of scriptures, you see that. We read it in Isaiah 44. Turn to Isaiah 44 and you see that. Isaiah 44 and verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. You see how water, rain is likened, it points to the Spirit, or Spirit is likened to water and rain. Likewise, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul speaks of the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit as the washing of regeneration. We know that passage in Titus 3:5. Water baptism points to Spirit baptism. Water is used to symbolize the Spirit. And in like manner, do we not read of how the Word of God is likened to water in the Scriptures? Look at Isaiah again. He says in a beautiful passage in chapter 55. We read that just now in our call to worship. Chapter 55 and verse 10. For as the rain cometh now, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I say. You see how Isaiah is comparing the word of God, the preaching of the word of God, to rain that refreshes the land? Again, the New Testament, the Apostle Peter speaks of how the Apostle Paul speaks of how Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. See that in Ephesians chapter 5. In the passage regarding husband and wife. Our beloved brethren, youths and children, do you see how David speaks of Christ like rain upon mown grass, in a sense that he is building up his church by the ministry of his word and by the Spirit whom he gives? Remember how the Apostle John calls Christ Jesus the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Why is he called the Word? He's called the Word because he is the person in the Godhead by whom God speaks to his people. So the Bible is the Word of God, is the Word of the Lord. Likewise, we take note that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is really the ministry of Christ. Who is it who sent the Spirit? The Lord Jesus tells his disciples in John 16, "It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And he adds concerning the Spirit, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you." It is no wonder that the apostles call the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Christ in a number of places. The Holy Spirit is sent by the Father and by the Son, and particularly he brings the ministry of Christ to his church. By the Word and Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ is refreshing his people constantly. We are like mown grass. Although we are redeemed, we are not yet perfected. Instead, we are often dry and barren, sad rather than joyful, fruitless rather than being fruitful. We are not yet a lush green field. One day, we'll be perfect, lush and green. But not today, not while on earth. The church militant will always be like mown grass that needs the refreshing rain. But thank God, the Lord does refresh us, so that we have every reason to praise and thank God even in this world. In fact, in Isaiah 55, where we are told that the word of the Lord will distill like rain upon the land, we are told to, in verse 12, Isaiah 55, look at that beautiful passage. Isaiah 55, verse 12, "For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Perfect joy will come one day when we are part of the church triumphant. But even today, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and is doing for us, we shall bear fruit for him. The Lord will have reason to rejoice as he beholds the church. And we will have every reason to praise and thank him in return, because it is he who blesses us that we might bless his name with our words and with our deeds. We must realize that this is happening. But now, how shall we respond? Well, insofar as we are reminded that Christ has not left the church to fend for herself against the elements, be it the wind or the heat of the day, let us not allow ourselves to become discouraged or despair, to become pessimistic. Sometimes we tend to become very negative, isn't it? We look at things and we get sorrow and we get depressed and discouraged, and very pessimistic. We look at a cup of water that is half full and we say it's half empty, because we are thinking always negative. But really, the scriptures gives us reasons for optimism, for Christ is as a rain that falls upon the church. Therefore, let us, beloved brethren, not allow ourselves to become discouraged, to despair, to become negative. But at the same time, let us not allow ourselves to think that lukewarmness and backsliding are acceptable state of affairs for the church. No, left to ourselves, we'll be as mown grass, barren and stunted. But it is not the design of Christ to leave us alone. He will pour down His rain upon the church by His Spirit and by His Word. Therefore, shall we not pray? Shall we not pray for the Spirit to work in us, that we may be lush and green? Look at Luke 11. Remember the passage that in which the Lord teaches us to pray, where He tells us that to ask and it shall be given, knock and it shall be opened unto you. What is the Lord teaching us particularly? Luke 11 in verse 9. It says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Do you realize the Lord is teaching us that of all the things we may ask for in the world, we must ask for the Spirit? And you know, it's not just talking to unbelievers. Unbelievers, they don't have the Spirit, they can't pray in a way that is acceptable to God. The Spirit must first be given in order that they can pray. So it's talking to us, all of us. That we ought to ask the Lord that He may give His Spirit in greater measure. Our beloved brethren and children, do you feel that you're backsliding? And lukewarm? Do not allow yourself to remain status quo. Pray that the Lord will rain a spiritual rain upon you and upon the church. Remember to pray. But secondly, as Christ refreshes His church by His word, shall we not pray that the preaching of the word will have free course and will fall on good ground in our hearts, that our hearts may be green and lush and fruitful? Shall we not pray that all defenses will be broken down, that we'll come and receive the word gladly? Not as many of us, when we go out and in a little bit of rain, we put our hand over our head and cover the head from the rain, right? Sometimes I feel this is happening when the word is preached. We quickly take out a handkerchief and put it there. Or worse still, we open our umbrella of worldliness, hardness of heart, and we go to sleep under the umbrella. Shall we not pray that the word will have free course, both from the perspective of the preacher and from the perspective of the listeners? Would you not pray, especially, that the word will be preached clearly and it will be received humbly, that by the operation of the Spirit, the word will bear fruit in our lives? Pray that the word may be as a double-edged sword to cut down unbelief and sinful strongholds, as well as to cultivate faith, love, and hope. But let us not just pray, but let us resolve to make use of the word faithfully, to attend to the means of grace faithfully, to receive the word with gratitude. Let's make it a resolution. If you want to make a resolution, New Year, make this a resolution. Be diligent in the reading of God's word. Be diligent in the hearing of God's word. Let no opportunity slip. When there's the opportunity to hear the word, do not come with, you know, without expectation, without prayer. But come with anticipation. Sleep early the night before. Come and pray and receive. And come listening. Don't allow the word to fall by the wayside, because the devil will pluck it away immediately. Make that a resolution in your life. And that will really count. A lot of resolutions that are made year after year are really meaningless and useless. But if this is one resolution you can keep, it's going to change you. It's going to change the church. Do not neglect the reading of God's word. Individually, as families, and do not neglect the hearing of God's word as a church. Beloved brethren and children, do not allow yourself to remain as mown grass, dry, stunted, withering, easily catching fire. Make use of the means and pray that the Lord will revive you, refresh you spiritually. But finally, let us realize that apart from the word, there is another means by which Christ refreshes the church. I'm referring to the Lord's Supper. In the Lord's Supper, the church remembers that Christ suffered and died for our sin. In fact, it is precisely because Christ suffered and died for our sin that we can enjoy the refreshment that He gives us by His word and by His Spirit. For otherwise, we would remain as enemies of God. We would not deserve any of His, we would not be able to receive any of His blessing that He would bestow upon us. So we remember the Lord's death at His supper. But let us take note that the Lord's Supper is not only an exercise in remembrance. It is also a means by which Christ feeds us spiritually. Our confession of faith in chapter 29 teaches us, worthy receivers, outwardly partaking of the visible elements of the Lord's Supper, do also inwardly by faith, really and indeed, yet not carnally and corporally, but spiritually, receive and feed upon Christ crucified and all benefits of His death, the body and blood of Christ being spiritually present to the faith of believers in the ordinance. Today, as we gather at the Lord's table, we must come to find refreshment and strength for our soul. We must partake of the Lord's Supper by faith if we are to receive any of the spiritual benefits that the Lord has appointed for our souls. If we partake of the Lord's Supper by faith, then Christ would, as it were, be as rain upon mown grass unto us. We shall then return from the table, revived, refreshed, and strengthened for our Christian walk. Otherwise, we eat and drink judgment to ourselves. Therefore, beloved brethren, do not let this opportunity slip by. Do you feel like dry, parched land? Do you feel like mown grass, spiritually hurting, stunted, dry, lukewarm, backsliding, unfulfilled, unfruitful? Do not continue to drift on in that state. Know that the Lord has provided the means for your refreshment. He is like rain upon the mown grass. The Lord will bless all who go to Him and all who receive Him by faith. And He will bless us especially when He invites us to come to His table. Go to His table, meditating on what He has done for you, that your heart may be filled with gratitude. Then receive the body and blood of Christ by faith, praying that the Lord will use His ordinance to refresh your spirit, to strengthen you in the inner man. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Do you, beloved brethren and children, sense that you are indeed like mown grass? Do you sense that you are desperately in need of refreshing from the Lord? Let it be known that the rain has been falling and is falling. Christ is not only like rain upon mown grass at some specific times in the history of the church. He has been refreshing His church through His Spirit and His Word, as well as His ordinances. This morning He's sending a shower, and all who receive it by faith will receive refreshing and strength for their soul. Therefore, come. Come, beloved brethren, to the table with prayerful expectation, and with a resolve no more to put up those umbrellas of hardness of heart and worldliness against the preaching of God's word. Come Sabbath by Sabbath, drink of the rain that comes upon your heart. Come today to receive the blessing that the Lord has reserved for you, especially in the year ahead. Come with expectation. Remember that the rain doesn't always fall in a thundery shower as at the time of the Reformation, but the rain is always falling. Each time we gather together in the means of grace, the rain falls. Sometimes it's a gentle drizzle, sometimes it's stronger. But pray that you may receive it by faith, whether in the preaching of the word or in the ordinances of the Lord. Come with gratitude and a resolve to receive the blessings of the Lord reserved for you. Amen.